Welcome and thank you for listening to our Sunday broadcast. Join us as we receive from the incorruptible seed of the Word of God today from Pastor Robert Jackson of Word of Faith Worship Center in Concord, North Carolina.
The weapon may be formed, it won't prosper. When the darkness falls, it won't prevail. 'Cause the God I serve knows only how to triumph. My God will never fail. Oh, my God will never fail. The weapon may be formed, but it won't prosper. When the darkness falls, God I serve knows only how to triumph. My God will never fail. Sing it. Oh, my God will never fail. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory for the
for the battle belongs to Hallelujah. Yes, you are. Hallelujah. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, he has. Yes, glory. We have, yes. Battle this. Yes, glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Yes, glory. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We're going to see the victory. She's claiming she's going to see the victory. Jesus says, you got it. You got it. Devil don't want you to have it. Just tell him, tough luck, devil. Tough. The battle is, you've got to show up. God gave Israel the victory, but they had to get on the battlefield. They had to show up. They had to show up trusting God. It's not your ability, it's His. You're available. If you make yourself available, He will put His ability and He will change situations. He'll make dead things come alive. Yeah. Amen. You know, we sang the song, the Earth, talking about His glory. You know, the trees and the flowers, they're getting ready to bust forth. Why? Because they can't hide what's on the inside. There's a time and a season that they got to bloom. They got to let loose and show forth their glory. Well, all you got to do, all they have to do, all that plant has to do to show its glory is stay rooted in the ground. And if you'll stay rooted and grounded in the love of God, you will show forth His glory in the earth. Right, Marie? You getting a vision of that, Marie? I see deep calling to deep. She's an artist. She just got her a new printer. You know what? She's ready to print some things. See, each one of you have a purpose. Each one of us have a purpose. And it's to bring glory to God, our Creator. And He takes glory in your healing, not your sickness. He takes glory in your prosperity, not your brokenness. That's the God that we serve. And the whole earth is going to see Him. I remember when Mom, she was on her, when she was getting ready to meet Jesus in 2020. When she breathed her last, this is before she breathed her last. Mom was a diabetic. She fought a lot of battles. God was right there fighting with her. But I remember she had to prick her finger, check her blood sugar, check her blood sugar, check her blood sugar. And I remember sitting there with her on that bed. I don't call it a deathbed. Because to a Christian, there's no death. We finally get to go home. See, we're all homeless. All of us are homeless. But one day we're going home. Amen. Because the Bible says this is not my home. Now, physically, there's homeless people out there. But that's not what's making them poor. It's because this is not their home, and they don't know how to get home. They just need Jesus. And if they'll receive Jesus, He'll change things down here, and one day we're all going to make it home. But Mom, I can remember, I actually got to know, Colette, what it was when Jesus would take something from you. Because I was just sitting there, we were waiting right beside Mama's bed. I can remember just holding her fingers, rubbing her fingers. And I was standing up because the hospice minister had showed up because we knew her time was getting close. And he wasn't there yet, but our family was there. And I can just remember holding her fingers. And I mentioned the blood. I said, Mama, never again. You're going to have to prick these and check your blood. And when I mentioned the blood of Jesus overpowered me. And I stood up, Colette, just like Colette stood up in this church. I was already standing. I don't remember exactly what I said, but I think the neighbors could have heard it. If the windows had been open, because Mama liked it cool. If y'all cold in this church, you get it natural, because Mama liked to be cool. But I confessed. I said, never again will you have to prick them fingers, Mom, because of the blood of Jesus. I said, the whole world is going to see the glory of the God, because this is not God's best. Living and battling these things in our body, this is not God, and the whole world's going to see my good God, how good my Father is. And I proclaimed that to that whole room. And what God took that burden. See, you're not, the battle is His. And He took that, Jesus showed me physically how He removed that burden of that grief from my mother. took it from me. I felt that was, it was just released in God's anointing. And that's what he'll do for anything in your life if you'll just trust him. Amen. The battle is his. But he needs, yes, say yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, I need you in my life. Amen. So, Father, we thank you, Lord, as the church has given this morning. We thank you, Father, for blessings in their finances. But, Lord, you go further than that. You bless us spirit, soul, and body. The whole man, the whole plan is to be blessed. It's to love God and love people. And we just thank you for that in Jesus' name. Father, we just love you and adore you. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I looked at my associate pastor, Reed, and I said, Reed, I told the congregation this morning, I said, everything I had written down and planned, the Lord said, don't even open it up. I said, Jesus, there's new people. There's people I haven't seen in the church this morning. He knew you guys were coming. But I'll keep you. It's like the Lord will always keep you by at least 12 o'clock. I mean, at least he'll give me something to say. Amen. And Wayne's already told me he could play the whole service if he needed, but he flowed with God. He flows with the Lord. Amen. But I want to encourage you this morning. I like to call, when that happens, I call it fresh manna from heaven. You know, you can go to the Golden Corral, and I've been with the Robinsons, and them boys love. Darius says, is it your younger brother? Sometimes I get them. Is he the old? Darius the oldest? See, Darius, I guess you just look younger than Daniel for some reason. But so Darius is the older brother. Them boys, you set a basket of yeast rolls, hot yeast rolls, in front of them. You better, if you want one, you better grab it. Ain't that right, Miss Tammy? Because the second basket is on the way. So usually when I go with them, I just say, can you bring four? If there's two baskets, give us another two. Because they'll take that butter and put it on that yeast roll, and it's gone. It's gone. That's fresh yeast rolls. Well, sometimes when this is fresh manna from heaven. This is something that Jesus will wake you up in the middle of the night, and you'll wake up in the morning, and he'll just drop something in your spirit. That's just the Lord. And I said, yes, Lord, okay. And I got the title on the way to church. Me and no radio, just praising the Lord, Miss Tammy, just... And I wrote it down because, you know, I didn't have it written down, but I wrote it down. I said, hey, Siri. She took notes. Now, she said it wrong. Okay, I don't need that coming on now. I'll tell you what. I think it's just, you know, God has a sense of humor, too. I think I'll read you the title and see if you like it. Now, some people, when you say something, some people take it in. They don't hear what you said. Because I told you, a lot of times I went to church, but I didn't hear what was said. I was just there. And that's not a good thing. That ain't it. That's a good word. The curse was a sweating that Adam would do, and it would bring forth. The curse, remember God, the curse that came upon Adam and Eve when they sinned, with a curse, you know, is not work. It's not a curse to work. The sweat came in when you try to do it on your own ability. That's when you start sweating it. See, that's the curse, is working without God. It's good to work. Amen. It's good to do things with your hands, with your feet, with your eyes. But, well, my gosh, I must have deleted the note. No, there it is. And Kelsey knows the title, so she might know how Siri will take this. Hard or bad, you choose life or death. It's in the power of your tongue. You choose. Hard or bad. Well, that wasn't it. That wasn't what I said when I told that to Siri. And I'll tell you the title in a minute here. If you want to go to if you got your Bibles, you got your app, Apple iPhone Bible app, if you'll turn to the Gospel of Luke. Luke was a doctor by man's ability, what God gifted him. He worked on people physically. I'm not sure what kind of tools he had back then. He didn't have the technology we have today. Pastor Jack Smith just sent me a text, be praying for him. He had orthoscopic. Did I say that right? On his knee, worked on his muscles and different things. He didn't have knee replacement, but, you know, and we're agreeing for total recovery. He's at his daughter's house. But you know what? Whether God uses it by doctors or he uses it by his word. Now, his word is the main thing, but he'll use that word and guide a doctor's hands to give him the wisdom to do those things. Dr. Luke was an example. But Dr. Luke was also a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he met Jesus, when Jesus said, follow me, What did he say? Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. You know what? Dr. Luke became a great doctor then. Because then he had the word that he could count on first. Amen? That incorruptible word that comes from the Lord. So in Luke, last year I talked about this time that the Lord had a message for us here, and I didn't print it out. I figured you guys probably remember, but it was pretty much, what are we doing in fear? In other words, this time last year, the pandemic, all this stuff, we was finding out all these things, and the Lord said, we got to fight fear. And the only way to fight fear is with the Word of God. I said, the only way to fight fear is with the Word of God. So we focused on battling fear and putting the whole armor of God and keeping that armor and knowing what the armor represented. So that was about a year ago. And sad to say, in the world, we haven't done much with fear. Just look around. Businesses are not open. A lot of businesses are not open. States are not open. Why? Fear. Fear of what could. See, a lot of times, fear, a lot of times, is false evidence appearing real. Real. Now, we know some things about this pandemic. We know something about this virus, but what happened to the flu that we knew a lot about? We hadn't heard about that. It's kind of like we all focused on COVID. Now, I'm not going to be talking about that. I'm just talking about fear. Fear will take you and it will grip you and it will snare you. Defeat, no, that's not the title, but that's good. Defeat, that was the message. Thank you, Reed. That was the message, defeating fear. I thought he was giving me the title of the day. I thought he was helping me out. Well, that is something you will do until you get home to heaven, is you got to fight fear. And God has left us the manual to how to do it. But you can't do it alone. You need Christ, but also we need each other to fight this battle together. Amen? And one thing we proclaimed, and we need to keep proclaiming, no fear is welcome here at this church, but you also got to bring that to your home and to your family and to your generation and to your generation's generation. You got to proclaim and declare. See, God has made you. If you're born again and receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, God has proclaimed that you are now kings and priests unto God, not to man, to God. And that means you decree something. The king has to decree something. When he wants to get something done, he makes a declaration, and then he sends the people out to get it done. Well, Jesus has declared that you are free. Because the Bible says, he said, who the Son sets free is free indeed. He's the King of kings and Lord of lords, and he sent me to remind you about that. That if Jesus says you're free, I don't care what man says, and you might have chains on, you might be chained and shackled and be in prison like the Apostle Paul, but on the midnight hour, God's going to give you a new song. I said, he'll give you a new song. And when you sing that song, God will send an earthquake. It won't destroy man's life, it'll save you. See, God don't bring destruction to kill you, he brings something to save you. Amen. He brought an earthquake and he broke the shackles off of them. But not only Paul, all the prisoners were set free. Because see, God's no respecter of person. But I'll tell you something he will respect is that is faith. God respects faith over fear anytime, over anything. God, he's a faith God. And he'll move mountains out of your way if you'll just keep decreeing and declaring that he's good. And declare his word, what he said. He's good, he's holy, he's righteous. And so are you. Because once you get born again, Jesus comes in. Amen. There you go, Wayne. We can sing that all day long. When you get born again, Jesus comes in. And he changes everything. Not on the outside. That's an ongoing work. Amen. But it will change, will happen. Sometimes you just can't see it yet. Right? That's a good introduction. I can use that as my introduction, right? What do you think, Pastor? As a good introduction. So we only got about 45 more minutes, maybe. But you know what? Jesus was right on time. He was never late. I don't know if he was ever early, but he was right on time. Amen. He got up early. Jesus got up early. You know why? Because it was time to get up, man. There was work to be done. Sunrise to sunset, Jesus was working. When he went into the ministry full time, it was work. Man, ministry is work. Wayne just don't come up here and play, and Tammy and Reed, they just don't come up here and sing. They practice what they sing and play. You don't see them on Thursday nights. You don't see them when they leave church and go home and put everything on paper and get in the bathroom, brush their teeth, and all go. Man, they're practicing. You need practice, because I tell you, me and Wayne, we sung a song this morning just to kind of throw something together, and it needed help. You know, I was sounding pretty good. I don't know what Wayne was doing over there. He was trying to take me way up there. I can't get that high, Wayne. I got to stay low. How low can you go? Amen. But a good sound person will make you sound good. I tell you what, a good Heavenly Father will make you look good. And you're precious. Everyone, I remember singing that song, is precious. And in His sight, red, yellow, black, or white. Ain't that the way the song goes? All of us, He loves us all, and we're precious in His sight. See, God is colorblind, if you want to put something in the natural. He doesn't see color. Amen. He doesn't see color. He sees creation the way He created it. So neither should you see color. I'm talking to the Christian. Don't look to the world to be blessed. You look to God, and He'll show you His blessing. Amen. He'll uncover it. He'll uncover His glory, and He'll show you. Amen. He'll uncover Himself. The Bible talks about the book of Revelation is when Jesus revealed Himself to John on the Isle of Patmos. Well, John already knew Him as his Lord and Savior. He knew Him on the earth as a disciple. But that day, see, when the world rejected John, they tried to take his voice, his testimony. They tried to keep him from witnessing. Talking about the Apostle John, they boiled him in oil. They did everything they could, but the man would not deny Jesus and that He's real and He is full of love and He wants to. I bet as they was boiling him, he was probably like Jesus on the cross. He was, Lord, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. And he was in pain and torment. But I believe my Father, I believe he gave John a, I believe He gave him a pain. A lot of times we take a Tylenol or something for the pain. I believe He gave him just a little dose of His glory. He just showed him heaven a little bit and just took the pain. I believe it just took his pain, his suffering, physical pain, because the man wouldn't die. He wasn't finished. He wasn't finished with his course. They said, well, put him on the Isle of Patmos. And I've never been there, don't want to go, because it wasn't a nice place. He was by himself. And Jesus said, well, I'll tell you what, John, I'll talk to you. I'll fellowship with you. And he wrote the book of Revelation. Amen. And he said, John just didn't write it for his benefit. He wrote it for our benefit. He said, what you see, John, write. Write. Write it down. Write your vision. Make it plain so all can see that Jesus loves us. But he's wanting to show us in the book of Revelation, warns us of things that's going to happen shortly. Say shortly. Well, if you're wearing shorts today, they're getting shorter. I'm talking about things that's happening in the earth. Things are getting squeezed. They're getting the devil's running around. He's pressured, man. He's trying to do all that he can do. Because why? He knows his time's short. And he wants to take as many of God's people as he can. Don't let him have you or your family or your children's children. Right? We know what's right. We know what's right and wrong. And we're not blinded by that stuff. The Bible talks about we're not ignorant of the devil's devices. Now, some of the church is. They are. Not this church. You need to claim that for yourself. I will not be deceived because I'm a believer. I believe in the word. So today, and I wrote this in my cursive writing, so make sure I say what I wrote down here. So today we're going to read in the chapter of Luke. And y'all are already there, right? Chapter 1. And as we get ready to read, I just want to preface this a little bit. If you haven't read about Adam and Eve, and I'm sure you probably had it read to you in Bible, children's church, Sunday school, camp, Bible camps, whatever, about Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God. That's where it all started, and that's where it will all finish up, is in God, whether people believe it or not. But I want you to remember Adam, what God told him to do and what not to do. And God told him the consequences of his actions before he, you know, God knows the end from the beginning, right? And he loves us. And the main thing you need to know is God honors your choice. He gave you a free will because that's who God is. Is I don't want my children to say they love me. I want my children to show they love me. I don't, you know, Tell me you love me. Tell me you love me. If you tell that baby won't call you mom, my dad, the first word. The baby say, I love you, I love you, I love you. Because the baby is, they don't know love yet. They're hooking what you're saying to what you're doing. Amen. So, where was I going with that, Lord? God freely wants us to love him. I don't want you to come to church. I don't want to make you come. I don't want to tell you to come to church. I want you to come to church freely and serve the Lord. Amen. And I believe if the world will see the goodness of God in the land of the living, they will knock you out of the way to get to church. Because a lot of people think that when you go to church, God's going to knock you in the head with something. And then he'll definitely going to do something if you don't go to church. Well, that's not God. He's just lovingly waiting for me to turn. For me to turn. So remember Adam, what God had told him. He said, Adam, there's two trees. God made the trees, and God made Adam out of the dust of the earth. All the trees were there before Adam showed up, before God created Adam. And he said, Adam, see all these trees. And he just think about it. He's only in a, he can't see but so far, Coley. Adam can't see but so far. God sees everything, in from the beginning. But he said, all these trees in front of you, and there's a lot of trees. There's a lot of trees in the garden. You know, if you go deer hunting, you get out in the woods, there's a lot of trees out there, right? Depends on where you go. If you go to the woods, well, Adam's in the garden. There's a lot of trees, but God only focused on two trees. When I say focus, he said, Adam, out of all these trees, you can eat every fruit on those trees except for one. Just one. But see, a lot of times, now the devil, his purpose is to make you focus on the main thing or the thing that God didn't say. Because when the devil showed up, a talking snake showed up, influenced by the devil, and got things all messed up because, has God said, you can't eat of this tree? No, God actually said, you can eat of all these trees. That's the first thing God said. You can have all these things, all these good things, Adam, except one. God said, that's my tree. Don't mess with that. Amen? We didn't know the rest of the story yet. So Adam remembered what God had told him. Because God told him, Adam, when you eat this tree, you will surely die. Eve was not there yet. She was inside. She was inside Adam. I said she was inside. She was going to be his woman, his helpmeet. Say amen, women, because without you, we wouldn't be here. And without us, you wouldn't be here. And without God, none of us would be here. And we have a purpose for being here. And it was not to die. That was not God's plan. God's plan was for us to enjoy all those trees except one. And the devil showed up and said, has God said? Not to eat of it. No, Adam, you should have said, no, God said I can eat of all these trees except one. Well, now Eve was there. Okay, so a lot is written, but I can see a lot of what Adam said and what he didn't say by the scriptures and by life experience. Because when Eve, and I'm going to kind of shorten this story up, you need to go read it. When Eve, when she was deceived by the serpent, by the devil, she looked at that fruit and it looked good. See, looking good. Somebody's forgetting what was said. Because what was said is different from what you see. God's a faith God. And when Adam saw his wife, having a wife is a good thing. God joined man and woman together in marriage, holy matrimony. They're one now. Because when God sees a marriage, two couples, he still sees one. And Adam is the head. See, because Adam was there first and the woman was taken out of man. Doesn't make the man over the woman. They're just one and God's looking at the head. When he sees Tammy, he's still looking at the head. He's looking at Reed. And Tammy is a part of the head. So Adam is watching his wife and he's silent. I know sometimes we're quiet because we let the women talk a lot, guys, but because they like to talk a lot. And that's their nature and that's good. But this time, it was time for Adam to say something. Adam knew what God had said, in the day you eat of that fruit, you're going to die. So I'm thinking, Adam, what are you doing? What are you doing? God has said something, Adam. God said something, and it matters what God has said. Come on. It matters what God has said. I'm sorry, your opinion over what God says, I still love you, but I'm going to choose God. Now, if you're saying what God says, then you got a good opinion. Amen? I'm not trying to knock you down. This is all prefacing what we're going to talk about. Adam put Eve before God. Now, God, when he makes things good. Adam, Eve was a nice-looking woman, and there was only one. He didn't have to choose between two women that day. Just one, and it was his. She was all his, and he was all hers. And I'm sure she persuaded him, and they loved one another intimately. Amen? And it showed up that day. But what happened was Adam forgot. No, Adam didn't forget. He made a choice. That day, he made the wrong choice. And he chose his love for Eve over his love for God. And that's when I said, when I opened up, bad or good, the title is, what was the title, Kelsey? I wrote it down. Hide and Seek. Right? Come on, tell me the rest of that title. Hide or Abide. There's something with hide and seek. Hide or abide in Christ. Your choice. Hide or abide. You know, Jesus said, if you abide in me and my word abides in you, you'll ask whatever you want, and the Father, and it'll be granted to you. You remember what happened when God showed up for his fellowship in the garden? Adam, where art thou? That's King James. Hey, son, Adam. God only had one son back then. Son, where are you? What's the Father doing? He's coming for his fellowship. He wants to see what Adam's done today. And what was Adam doing? He was hiding. We're talking about fear, too. Adam, where are you? God knew where he was. He knew exactly where he was. He saw him hiding behind that tree trying to cover himself with those little, I call them fig leaves, the leaves. Did a poor job. Because God, well, I ain't going to go that route. God actually made a sacrifice, killed some animals, and made a hide for them and covered their sin. He did it right. See, the blood had to be shed. Because life is in the blood. And they chose death. Come on, guys, are you seeing Jesus in this? The blood had to be shed, and God was the first one that gave the blood sacrifice. He killed an animal, but an animal never can appease that sin that so infiltrated their mind and their spirit. They were separated from their Father. No longer could they make right or wrong choices. They didn't know. They were confused. The devil was the author of confusion and death. Death entered the world through Adam's, not Eve. Eve fell for the lie, but Adam, he had the answer. And he chose what he saw over what he believed, Wayne. Adam made a choice. He chose, and we're all susceptible to this, born again or lost. But Jesus said, the Word says, God says, I set before you life and death. And that's every day we got to make a choice to choose what is right or choose what is wrong. What has God said? It's just as simple as that. Hide or abide in Christ. God's not leaving. He's the creator. He did it right. He's not starting it. I mean, he's going to recreate some things, but he finished it. He got in there and he made things right through Christ. So when Adam did that, Adam remembered what God had told him while she's eating that apple. God, Adam knew, but undoubtedly, he didn't fear God. See, there's a reverential fear, which is a holy, it's a righteous fear. It's a good fear. To fear God, to respect what God has said. That is a holy, reverential fear that we need to have. Amen? That we need to have that. But that day, Adam took a choice. When Eve was in rebellion, Adam made a choice and put his wife above his first love. First love. The first love is God. In the book of Revelation, Jesus spoke to churches and pastors, and he's speaking to the church body. You've left your first love when you decide to not listen to God and what he has said. And you just can't come to church one day and say, I heard God, I'm good, I'm okay for next Sunday. No, you're not. You need to hear his word every day. Every day we've got decisions to make. I'm not sure how many decisions, but there's a lot of decisions we have to make every day. Every day, making decisions. We need to make the right decision, Cecil, right? The right decision. And then God will stand beside you and fight your battle. He'll fight that battle for you. All you got to do is stand on his promise. And when you don't know what to do, stand. Stand. Go to church. That's a good thing to do. God will help you. He'll give you some advice, some wisdom there. It'll be somewhere in the service. It'll be there. Thank God. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, don't let me forget what you wanted me to say, because I forgot it right now. But he's going to bring it back to my remembrance. What am I doing? I'm asking God for help. Amen. And I know the Holy Ghost. He'll drop it right into my spirit when I need to say it. Because it's not for me. It's for somebody in this church. Somebody's. There's a lot of S's. It's plural. So when Adam did that, immediately fear hit. Because it's not God, the Bible says. And read if I ask, you'll find the scripture. God has not given us a spirit of fear. He gave us a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. Adam lost his mind that day because he made a wrong choice. And immediately fear, he never experienced that kind of fear. See, God was showing him the difference. If you receive God's fellowship, you'll never experience death, this kind of fear. Separation from God's voice. You know, this year we're talking about the will of God. This our next Wednesday Bible study, we're going to be talking about the will of God, how to find, follow, and fulfill God's will in our life. And it might take this year and next year, I don't know, to finish those teachings, but that is important. And about hearing God's voice and making the right choice. Now, he loves you. And he'll let you make, that's why he's given us a free will. He loved Adam and Eve. He knew what they were doing was going to bring destruction. Adam didn't know everything that was going to happen. He didn't see this whole, he didn't see the whole thing. There's some things that God will not show you. Why? He loves you. I don't understand why Ronnie Lemon, God couldn't make his leg grow out. And I know God can, and he has. There's a lot of factors there. I don't know what's going on deep inside Ronnie, so I didn't know that. Maybe he's ready to get on out. He's tired of fighting this fight, and he's ready to go on to heaven. I don't have all those answers, but I do know Jesus. And I know his word, and God is faithful to his word. And I can't, you just got to seek the Lord. I don't know why Ronnie had to, I wanted to see him walking and legs down here. And that's what Jesus operated and showed. Miracles are still for today. Healings are still for today because Jesus, he's the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. But there's laws that work in this kingdom that God set up. And I'm not the lawmaker. I didn't make all the laws. It's called the law of faith. Amen. I learned a little bit in history. There was a man named Isaac Newton. I believe an apple hit him on the head one day, right? Kelsey, I'll look to Kelsey because she remembers a lot. Hopefully, they're still teaching that in school. Isaac Newton, right? Y'all help me here. Yeah. Discover gravity. Am I close? An apple fell on the head. Knocked him in the head. Well, Isaac Newton wasn't this great man, just discovered something. It'd been there since creation. Gravity. God showed him something. It happened to a man named George Washington Carver. That God showed him something about a peanut. He showed. Don't think just because you've heard John 3:16, you know it all. For God so loved the world, it's a good thing, but there's so much more in God that you need to dig in there, take the shell off, get into the word and start shelling it. And once you find the peanut and you eat it, you're going to find something else. The Bible says, taste of the Lord and see that he is good. You need to know that. He's good. And his mercy endures forever. You need to keep tasting of his mercies. His mercies are new every day. So you need to start eating. Amen. Hide or abide in Christ. The choice is up to us. I said it's up to us. See, when Adam, immediately that fear hit Adam, his mind, and it caused him to hide from God. Because when God showed up, Adam, where are you? I was afraid of what? that God's going to come down and just love on you? And afraid of what? Of what death is. Because Adam knew that God had said that if you eat of that, you will surely... Adam had no understanding of death. God had not revealed death to him. When I was in retail, I worked. Now, I got put in on the register. I don't like running register. Never had ran it before. So now I had to count money. God, for but you know, man, that was a long time ago, 15, 20 years ago. But the cash register, you just input it, and it brings the output. So I had it made, you know. I was learning. But the one thing they taught me was look for counterfeits, $100 bills out there. I ain't got time. I got a line backed up, you know. I'm just give me their money because I got to get these people. You know, they're upset. They want their groceries and they want them yesterday. And you want me to look for? You want me to try to find look for bad ones? But they hadn't. You know, you take a marker and you can mark them. What are they doing? They taught me if you'll know what the real thing is, you won't fall for the bad stuff. Well, the real Jesus, please stand up. He never sat down. God never hid himself from Adam. He was opening up his whole life to him. He was going to show every day Adam was learning something different about God and how good he is. But Adam took what he saw over what he believed. And he hid from God. Fear will cause you to run and hide from God. Not the reverential fear that Adam began with. It's the fear of the devil. And that of death, for all the Bible talks about, they were afraid of dying. And all their life, the children of Israel, they were in bondage for the fear of death. It kept them in bondage. Well, I know somebody. Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, he came and he destroyed death, hell, and the grave. He destroyed, death is still our enemy, but Jesus destroyed its power over you. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory? That's what I preach when somebody passes away. If they're a Christian, I know there is no sting. Death didn't have no sting because Jesus took the sting. He became death. He became sin. Jesus physically died and spiritually separated himself from God, his Father, so that we would never be separated. Because he rose from the dead to prove it. Amen. And he lived. Jesus lives forevermore, declaring his goodness. Amen. So the title of this message is Hide or Seek. Hide or Abide. Want to get that hide and seek. Anybody remember playing hide and seek when you were little? Cover your eyes. Who stuck their fingers to their eyes? I was watching where everybody was hiding. Hide or abide in Jesus, in Christ. Oh my God, I'm out of notes. But I ain't read a chapter of Luke yet. Oh, we got a whole chapter. Y'all know I can speed read. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I got tired of hiding, guys. I got tired of hiding 22 years ago. And at home, I said, Lord, here I am. Here I am. I'm revealing myself to you, my brokenness to you. I need help, Lord. I'm tired of hiding underneath these masks of something that I'm not. And I got truthful. I got honest with the Lord. And you know what? He loved me. All the lies I heard were wrong. A lot of the lies. There's a lot of good things I heard. But God wasn't my problem. I was my biggest problem. My flesh, what I wanted to do. I didn't know what I wanted to do. If you stick around with us, we're learning what we're going to do. If you don't know, starting our lessons in today. Knowing Jesus will get you on your road to victory. Amen. So in the book of Luke here, we're going to start, and this might be a continuation. Amen. But thank you, Lord, for the reading of this word today, Father. And Lord, Holy Spirit, just say, I know you've already said a lot, but finish what you want to say today. So read along with me here. Luke writing here says, "Insomuch as many have taken in hand to set in order a narrative of those things which have been fulfilled among us." Now, Luke was a disciple. He witnessed of what Jesus did, all the mighty acts that he did, and the words that he spoke. That was a qualification back then to be an apostle. Anybody could follow Jesus, but these were the apostles of the Lamb. There was 12. There's never been any more apostles of the Lamb, but there are apostles today. But there was only 12 that witnessed the life and the resurrection of Jesus Christ on the earth. And Luke is saying, he's writing it down for us to read. And he said, and he wanted Theopolis to hear this. And I'm not sure, I didn't look up Theopolis. I think he was an important man, though. Just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word deliver them to us. It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of things from the very first, to write to you an orderly account, most excellent Theopolis, that you may know the certainty of those things in which you were instructed. You know, the Bible says, I have many instructors, but not many fathers. And a good father, like our Father is, he will love you and he will send you instructors out here, pastors, teachers, evangelists, that will preach that good word, but not all of them are sent from God. I'm sorry, I hate to say that. You can read the newspapers years later and find out that not all of these people that were called of God are not called. They made their own self a God and hurt people, abused people along the way. But God is still good. Amen. And his word is, he's faithful to his word. And there was in those days of Herod, and this is Luke giving his testimony. In those days, Herod, the king of Judah, a certain priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah, his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Zacharias and Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God. Before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. But they had no child. Now see, children is a blessing from the Lord. And the Jewish culture was, if you didn't have children, it's kind of like God wasn't pleased with you. And like barrenness was a curse. Well, not, remember, religion will bind you and snare you. God loves women, whether you have children or don't have children. That was just a religion passed on. They had no child because Elizabeth was barren. And they were both well advanced in years. And that's a polite way of Luke saying they were old. Amen. Come on. Even Luke knows how to change some words up. Them doctors are supposed to, you know, if you're dying of cancer, he's supposed to come in and kind of turn it and make it sound a little, you know what I mean? If you're a doctor, and I'm not against doctors, they got to say some hard things sometimes. And if I'm going to have a doctor, I want to be a Christian doctor because I want to be full of grace and mercy. And doc, I want you to be believing with me. Amen? That's the doctors you need to go to. You know, nothing wrong. We don't deny the facts. We just deny that Christ has overcome those facts. Faith overcomes fear. And they were, they had no child, and they were old, they were advanced in years. So it was that while Zacharias was serving at church, giving out, he was taking care of the usher, and he was serving his time at church, a priest before God in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood, his time fell for him to burn incense. And when he went into the temple of the Lord, and the whole multitude of the people were praying outside, it's good to pray for your pastor, amen. Pray for me. I ask my pastor to pray for me when I'm giving this message this morning. Pray for me that I can hear from God. And because I'm a man, subject to temptations just like you are. Don't put me on a pedestal. Pray for me and put me in the presence of Jesus. Amen. That's what I want you to do. Pray for me that I might hear from God and specifically and see things and know things. And they were praying, and an angel appeared. Now, if God needs to send an angel to your pastor, that'd be fine. He sent one to John, sent a bunch of them, said, hey, John, write what you see, write. And an angel appeared to Zacharias, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, what happened? He was troubled, and what? Fear. What fell upon him?
Fear.
Okay, here's a big understanding to help you. If you see something spiritual and you're getting afraid, you're seeing that angel. Now, God still does these things. If that angel says, what does that angel say? But the angel said to him, this is an angel from God. The angel of God said to him, do not be afraid. Now, see, that's a natural fear. If somebody's telling you they saw an angel and they're just talking to you like it was, the angel came and had breakfast with me, they hadn't seen God's angel. Because when his angel shows up, he's probably about 12 foot tall, probably got a sword. Some of them have swords, and some of them, Gabriel's just a messenger angel. He might have a big book or something. But he stands, Gabriel says, I stand in the presence of Almighty God. And when if an angel appears to you, you know what you're going to do? You're going to fall on your face in fear and reverence. You're in the presence of Almighty God. This angel just came from God. Your body's going to experience some fear. But when that angel says, fear not, you know you got the right angel there. Because that's, God does not want you to be in fear of his word or his presence. In his presence, the Bible said, there's fullness of joy. Amen. If you ever see me take off of here and dance, you know the Spirit of the Lord has hit your pastor and I am full of joy. I'm not saying I'm not, but sometimes it'll just overwhelm you. Amen. It'll make your body do something you didn't think you could do. It'll make a barren lady have a baby. That's what I'm saying. When the presence of the Lord hits, I'm going to dance like David danced. Take a little jig. Amen. My youth shall be renewed. Now, I'm telling you, when that anointing leaves, it's going to catch up with us, ain't it, Reed? We're going to be saying, what I did? What at church? That must be why I'm feeling a little bit weak in my thigh. But dance. If the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you, dance. Because that might just be your miracle taking place in your body. Amen. I'm talking about God touched Elizabeth's womb, opened it up. And the angel said to him, fear not, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard. When you pray to God, I'm telling you now, your prayers are heard. And if God needs to send an angel to let you know, he'll send one. Amen. Your prayer is heard. Your wife, Elizabeth, will bear you a son. He should have done somersaults. But he's well advanced in years now. I don't know how old that is. But he was old. And here's this angel saying, your wife's going to bear. She's going to get pregnant. And you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he also will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn, talking about your son, is going to turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord, their God. He will rise up and go before him in the spirit and power of the prophet Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready, say make ready. Get ready, Jesus is coming. I'm here to make you ready. Amen. To not fear at his coming, but to be joyous at his coming. Amen. This is what we, as a church, we need to experience. I'm tired of fear. And until you get tired of fear, it's going to overwhelm you. It's going to shackle you and keep you in bondage to the joy that's on the inside of you. Amen. Thank you, Father. Help me read. Where was I? Verse 17. And all this great, here's this great thing that the angel's delivering. And Zacharias said to the angel, praise God, hallelujah, so be it. Uh-oh, wrong choice. In the presence of the Lord, an angel's giving you a prophecy. This is what's going to happen. And he says, he's scratching his head. He's been praying, Terry, for years. He's been in the sanctuary praying. Now, it doesn't tell us exactly what he's praying, but he was righteous and blameless before God. So you know he's praying the will of God, praying the word of God, and God sent an angel and showed up in church. Come on, you guys. And Zacharias was in unbelief. Unbelief, Marie, unbelief. The sin of unbelief is what kept the children of Israel from getting to the promised land. His promised child is getting ready to be born, and he's in unbelief. And don't criticize Zacharias, because it's easy to see things and not know things that you've known all your life, but now something's in front of your eyes. It's here, the prayer is here, and you need to be rejoicing. And Zacharias is in unbelief. But God, this is a fulfillment of Scripture. This had to take place. God said, I've waited long enough. The earth has waited long enough. They suffered long enough. My son's going to be born, and he's coming, and he's going to be born. And you know what had to happen? Now, this is a good father. Zacharias got spoke, struck dumb. In other words, he couldn't speak. Let's read on through here. This ain't what I said. This is what happened. Amen. And Zacharias answered and said, How shall I know this? For I'm an old man, and my wife, she's an old woman. He's calling his wife an old. You know, they're old if he's calling her old. I wonder if the angel told her. No, he ain't going to go that way. John's confession. He called you old too. And the angel answered and said to him, I am Gabriel. Zacharias knew about Gabriel. He'd heard some stories, I'm sure. I am Gabriel who stands in the presence of Almighty God. I'll just say Jehovah there for you. Jehovah, that's one of his names in the Old Testament. Jehovah. And I'm sent to speak to you and bring you these what? Glad tidings. You're going to have a son, Zacharias. You've been praying. And I don't believe, guys, come on. He's old and I don't believe he's been praying for a son. That if you had been praying, if that had been your prayer, Wayne, and the angels, you'd been, I got it. He's been just praying for Israel, praying for the people. God will give you something if you serve him that you hadn't been asking for. Oh, that's a revelation. That was a revelation to me. I got something. God blessed me. I wasn't even asking for it, Wayne, but I was serving God faithfully, doing what he's called me to do. And that calling, you all have something, is serve God with gladness. Gladness takes away the sadness. Come on. I'm getting happy. So I don't have no notes. I just knew if I start reading this, God would fill in the void. He would fill in the gaps. One of the gaps is going to be next Sunday. The world cares so much and your business about your GPA. Can y'all tell me what a GPA is? Kelsey? Grade point average. The businesses, that's what'd you make in high school? Well, I can't even. I did good in Life Christian University in college. I had all A's, so I know I got a high grade point. I just had to get my papers and find what it is, Carrie. But it was good. But God's not, he's not concerned about your GPA. He's concerned about your GAP. Y'all want me to tell you the rest of that story? I ought to make you wait till next Sunday. Come back next Sunday. What is that? Romans 12 tells us, if I'll submit myself to God, if I'll make my body a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is my reasonable service, and God will show me what is that good, acceptable, and the perfect will of God. God will fill in the gap. The world's looking for your GPA. God's looking for your, he wants to give you his good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. That's continued. That's next week. God filled in the gap. There was an intercessor. Moses was an intercessor, but I needed Jesus. I needed a true intercessor. Jesus, he filled in the gap. From my weakness, he became strong. God loves you. Amen? God loves you for who you are. I don't care what anybody's told you. God loves you for who you are. He's yours. He was created by you. He wants all of you. Spirit, soul, and body. Now, just a little plug here. If you're a little chilly, I got the air conditioning on, but I finally made a decision, and the Lord helped me. I kind of set the thermostat between 68 and 73. So if it gets too hot, it's coming on. Cold's coming on. But if it gets too cold, the heat's coming on. So you got a variable there. So you'll have to work. If I need a shawl, I have to bring a shawl. Or if I need to take the shawl off, you got to make that decision. I'm leaving that choice to you. But God said, the thermostat says, if it hits 73, cold air is coming on until it gets to 72. Y'all love the pastor, don't you? So I love technology. I got an app. I got an app that I can control a thermostat, Miss Vivian. Whoa, man. God says, I've got a Holy Ghost that I gave you. And if you'll set your goal to be blessed, he will bless you. But if you think the Holy Ghost, if you think God is all this evil stuff, that thermostat, you need to tear it off your wall and get you a new one. Amen? Amen. I'm telling you, God is good. All the time. And his mercy endures. He is good. If 73 is good for you, God is 73. He's good. All right, somebody help me. Where was I at? Thank you, Miss Tammy. Verse 20. John got into fear and got a hold of his mind. This is an angel sent from God, and because God loved him so much, and he had to bring Jesus. The angel had to take and made him mute. He couldn't speak. He says, behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place. And 9 months, Zacharias, if you want to speak, you better get to work, buddy. I'll just add that to there. You better do what God says. And that's a good thing, right? See, that's a good thing. Bringing children into the earth is a gift from God. That's a good thing if you're married. Come on. God still loves you. I did it wrong and didn't do it. I turned around and done it right, finally. God loves you regardless, but the blessing is going to be on those that believe his word. I'm talking about the full blessing. God will bless you as much as he can, but he cannot bless disobedience. Come on. He wants to do so much more for us. Amen? That's a strong word, but it's a good word. God loves you. Wants you to have children. He said, That wasn't the right testimony. And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he lingered so long in the temple. But when he came out, he could not speak to them. And they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple. If you're in the presence of God and you saw an angel, you're not going to come out and just say, hey, you know what, you know, casually. They saw he was in fear. They knew he saw a vision. And he couldn't tell them about it. Yet. Amen. Yet. So it was as soon as the days of his service, serving the Lord, it pays to serve God. I said it pays. Serving God is loving God. It ain't what you do. It's just, I love God, and I want to do something for God. And if asked and you do it, God loves you if you don't do anything. God is love. That's all he's got to give. Won't you just tap into that? Tap into it. So when his days of service were completed, and this service will be completed today at a certain time, amen. If somebody's wondering what time the service is, I told you, Lord, he'll say what he needs to say. He'll keep you bubbly here. You don't know what I'm going to say, do you? I don't either. So just join the party. Come on, we in this thing together. God's got something to say. And if you'll just yield your tongue, he'll say it in your way. I remember I had a message one day how to hit a curveball, because all my sons, they play baseball, you know, and I was asking one day, so how do you hit a curveball? And my oldest son, Dad, said, you lay back. If Rowan was there, you lay back and drive it, you know, lay back and just drive it into it, you know. So Lord gave me a message, you know, you want to know how to get a miracle? Just lay back. Drive into Jesus. Just lay back and just rest in the Lord and just knock it out of the park. In other words, give Jesus your life. Hide in the vine. Hide in the vine. Amen. Hide or abide in the vine. I don't want to hide. Come out and be separate, says the Lord. Come out of that world and be separated, says the Lord. And I'll show you great mighty things. I'll make printers just come into your life. It'll just be that perfect printer you've been praying and believing God for. And see, now she's got it. She's rejoicing. But now start putting your faith on the next thing God has for you. Because my Bible tells me that God takes pleasure when we prosper. Prosper doesn't mean you have all the money and you're fine. Prosper means you're doing better today than you were yesterday. And I'm doing a whole lot better today than I was 22 years ago, because I was lost and now I'm found and I'm finding my way. Because Jesus is my way maker. Amen. And I'm not lost, but I'm still finding my way. I'm asking the Lord to direct my steps. Amen? And that's what you need to do. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived. So we know Zacharias believed the report. Because if your wife's not having children and the angel says you're going to have children and she conceived, this was not the virgin birth. This was Elizabeth. So we know the rest of that story. He believed God. He was in unbelief at one time, right? But he got in belief real quick. God, he got in. Don't make God shut your mouth to get you in faith. Amen. That ain't God's will for your life. This is about Jesus being born. This had to take, our Savior had to come, and God had to close somebody's lips to bring it to pass. You know, when Jesus, we're getting ready to celebrate Passover and Palm Sunday, and you remember Jesus came in on a donkey. It represented he was King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And the people were praising God and Hosanna, Hosanna, Savior, my Savior comes, Hosanna, Hosanna. And the people, the religious people got mad. They were indignant. Why are these people singing to this Jesus? And Jesus heard, and he said, if they don't praise me, the rocks will cry out. Why? Because this was the appointed time. The Son of God was coming. The word had been prophesied, and Jesus was here. And I said, don't let no rock get my praise. You better praise God. Don't let that rock get your praise. Don't let that hard Christian that's sitting over there, can't even get his hand up and praise the Lord. Don't look at that person. You look to Jesus and you give him some praise. Amen. We believe in praising God in this church, whether it's lifting a hand, tapping, whatever it is, you praise God. You don't have to have a musical instrument. You just love God and praise him. Praise him. Amen. You can praise God anywhere. Whew, thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. I'm glad that air conditioner's on because I'm sweating. Praise the Lord. Ha ha. Thank you, Jesus. I might think I'm meditating, but I'm trying to figure out where I was at. We're getting close to the birth. You said, I thought this is preached at Christmas time. Every day is Christmas. Amen. That message ain't just for Christmas. It's when God says, share it, you share it. Amen. And in the sixth month, she's 6 months pregnant and showing. Elizabeth. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to another young lady, to the city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin. Say, that's important. She had never been with a man before, Mary, but she was engaged. She was betrothed. She was engaged to a man named Joseph of the house of David, and her name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, and here's another angel. She's been praying. Here's another. God sending Gabriel. Gabriel's busy. Coming to these. He said, thank God you sent me to a woman this time. Amen. Come on, guys. That's your time to pray for your pastor right there. Your wife, your woman, loves communication. I think we need to hear that. Amen. Talk to her. Hey, I'm talking to him. I'm pointing inward right here. Talk to your wife. Pay attention. Word says, pay attention. Give attention to my word. Give attention to your wife. Come on, guys. I just set you free. I helped setting you free a little bit right there. Pay attention to her. Value her. You know, it ain't like that car when you pull it off. It goes down in value. If you'll pay attention to her, she'll go up in value. I mean, you need, that's how God sees her. We need to see her how God sees her. Amen. She don't lose value. Because God don't lose value. Amen. And when he says he makes something good, he makes it good. So when Mary, she saw him, same situation Zechariah has. She saw him. She was troubled at his saying. And consider what manner of greeting this was. And the angel said to her, what did he say? What will God's angel say? Fear not. Be not afraid. For you have found favor with God. And behold, Mary, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. One was going to be named John, one's going to be named Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And I tell you, Jesus is the name above every name. And if you called on his name, you might as well just add your name right here. God calls you great and he calls you to have favor. Amen. Because this is what Jesus did for us. And he will give him his throne of his father David. He's made you a king and a priest. Amen. And he will reign over the house of Jacob. You need to reign over your house, men. This is God's house. It's for me and my house. Joshua said, we shall serve the Lord. And his kingdom, there's going to be no end, Teresa. There's no end to this kingdom. And Mary said to the angel, how can this be? Because I know not a man. See, that was the key. Mary knew for me to have a son, and I'm a virgin, and I'm engaged, how's this going to happen? Me and Joseph, we ain't talked about this yet. We ain't talked about this yet. And the angel answered and said, good question. It's good to question God on his word. Amen? On his word. And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also that Holy One who is born of you will be called the Son of God. And indeed, Elizabeth, here's a witness. I don't know if Mary knew her cousin was pregnant because let me just keep on reading. And the Holy One who is to be born of you will be called the Son of God. And indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, your cousin, think it's cousin, has also conceived a son in her old age. Angel pointed that out. And this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, where's your emptiness today? For with God, nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, this is where everybody should say, amen. Behold, the handmaid, the servant of the Lord, let it be to me. So be it means amen. Amen, she said, according to your word. And the angel departed from her. And see, then we go on to read that Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country. You want to hide or you want to abide? And you'll find out that Elizabeth, when she found out she was pregnant, you would think, you know, this great thing. The Bible says she hid herself for 5 months. She's showing and she's hiding. Now, this is going to be continued. And then Mary sought out Elizabeth. We need to get there. We need to read that today. Bear with me here. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting. Okay, so Mary rose up in those days. What day? She's pregnant. She rose up in those days. Joseph hadn't been involved in this. God did. As soon as Mary said amen that day, when the Holy Spirit was there overshadowing, when she said amen, the Word became flesh. In other words, Jesus was born in her womb that day. The Word became flesh that day on her agreement with the Word. What are you pregnant for? I ain't talking just to women. I talk to men. What are you pregnant for? What do you believe in God for? What is a promise God, His seed, what has He given you? Let it stay in your heart. Let it stay in your womb. Your spirit is the womb of your spirit. It's where things grow, amen? It's where your miracles, it's where what you've been believing God for, what you've been praying for, let it grow. Don't go to that other tree. Has God said? Yes, He has. What has He said? You need to say it out loud, because when the devil hears it, he's got to flee. He's got to run in terror. Amen? Sharon LeMasters is still dealing with a battle to be able to sing up here because of some pain in her chest. You know what I told her? You keep declaring what you're going to do. She loves to praise the Lord. So we're agreeing as a church that she's going to praise the Lord in the beautiness of holiness up here, and that whatever's attacking her body has to leave. Where she's been weak, her lungs are going to be strong in Jesus' name. This is what we do as Christians. We fight the good fight of faith, and fear has to leave. But see, before fear has to leave, something has to fight against it, and it's faith. But the fear of God is good. Mary went and arose with haste to the city of Judah and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. Her baby, John, was filled with the Holy Ghost when she heard Mary's salutary greeting. Deep calls to deep. And she spoke out with a loud voice and said, now here is the voice of prophecy. She's been hiding herself for 5 months. God said, you want to hide or you want to abide? You got to quit hiding and you got to quit start abiding. Where two of them came together right there, Wayne. And what happened? Prophecy. Somebody started saying something. Somebody confessed with their mouth the Lord Jesus. This is what I did. I confessed Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I was hiding in my sin. And I quit hiding and I confessed Jesus to come in, and He did. And you know what I did? I didn't get pregnant. I went to church. I went somewhere. I went to other believers that believed in God, that had been witnessing to me, some good friends, and it was a church of God. And I got set free. I experienced the power of God. It matters what church you go to. Amen. It matters. We believe the whole word here. We believe in what God said and what He'll do, what He said. Vivian will testify. He's a good chiropractor. He'll take crooked things in your back and make them straight, and you don't even have to feel it. He can do it while you sleep. He put Adam asleep and brought forth Eve. That was a good thing. Sometimes we just got to be put to sleep so God can get some goodness out of us. In other words, Quit thinking of what you're going to do. Adam got tired of naming the animals. God put him in a deep sleep. Amen. He said, I'm going to send you something. You're going to name her Woman. Eve changed his life enough that, hey, she changed him so much that he had to choose between her or God. You don't think God sends you a good thing? But you got to know, God said, I'll have no other gods. I'll have no other women. I'll have no other, Eve will not be before me. See, God said, I'll have no other gods. Adam made Eve his God that day. And he left his first love. See, God will send you good stuff. Amen. He'll send you good stuff. But we got to value it. We got to be good to it. And be good to her, him. Love one another. I'm going to finish this right here and we'll be done for today. If I can. Try to unhook. Brother Hagin would say, we ain't going to finish. We're just going to unhook for the day. Paul Harvey would say, this is the rest of the story. You'll come back next Sunday. Or you can come online. If you can't come here physically, you can watch us online. Amen? So, when Elizabeth heard Mary's salutation, Elizabeth prophesied. And she spoke out with a loud voice, and said, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. God, if you're not experiencing joy, you're not experiencing God. And I think that's a good place to unhook right there. Amen. If you're not experiencing joy, you haven't tapped in to the presence of the Lord. So you want to hide or you want to abide? Amen. All you got to do is make a choice. Quit hiding and start abiding. If I want to go to the beach, Rowan got invited to go to the beach from his baseball game. If I want to go to the beach, I can sit there all day. And I love going to the beach. I love just getting away from my area of influence. And I just love going to the beach and just resting and watching the waves crash on the sea. And just listen, just be there and just rest. But I can sit there at home all day and say, man, I like to go to the beach. I sure would enjoy going. I sure would like to go to the beach. And God has a desire. He loves to see me enjoy things. But until I tell my wife would be the first thing I'd do. I wouldn't ask her. I'd say, we're going to the beach. And then I would politely say, when can we go? Amen. But you know what? Sometimes you just got to say, you know what? It's time. I'm tired of hiding, and I'm ready to abide in God's good, acceptable, and the perfect will. Get in that gap. If there's an area missing in your life and it's God, you got a big gap. But I tell you what, he's a big God. And I don't care how far you've been along from him, he'll just jump right back in there and he'll fill in all the gaps. And he wants to take your life and he wants to make, there's going to be a sacrifice. And it's not going to be something you got to do physically, it's something you got to do spiritually. And mentally, you got to mentally make a choice to say, yes, Lord, yes to Jesus. I want to abide in you. I'm tired of hiding. I'm tired of you might be blessed and just everything's fine, but don't get complacent either. God wants to do great things in your life. And I'm talking to the young people here today too. Young or old, he wants to be a part of your life. I'm still waiting. I'm still praying. These guys, you might be there. Some kids that can make some good Christian video games. Man, I want to see some of these good video games of David and Goliath and Jesus going out here raising the dead. I want to see it on a video game where I can play it because I know the answers. I know the word, and I can beat that game a whole lot quicker than if I didn't know what was going to happen. And I'm waiting for those good video games that will come out to where I can get involved and interact with the word of God, because our young people are hooked in these things. They're not bad things. They just need God in them. Amen. To paint a picture. If I'd have had that when I was young, my picture would be a whole lot clearer today than it was 22 years ago. Because God pursued me and he chased me till I finally repent. Repent's a good word. I turned around and said, I'm tired of hiding. I want to know you, Lord. And immediately, I didn't have an angel appear to me. That'd been okay, Lord. If you need to send an angel to straighten me out, to correct me, that's okay. Because you want to be where God has you to be. But now I'm figuring out his good, acceptable, and his perfect will. And it's in Christ. Amen? It's in Christ alone. So I'm going to pray for you today. If you need personal prayer, you can come down. I'll be glad to pray with you after the service. But the main thing is, whether you're here today or you're listening by Facebook Live, Internet Live, just like we sung today, have you said yes, Lord? And if you've made Jesus your Lord, made him your Savior, I had believed on that before, didn't quite understand it, but he wants to be Lord, not just Savior. Lord, in other words, Lord means to have the total reign and domain. Now, you're not going to be like a puppet. He just wants to bless you. He wants to be a part of everything that's happening in your life. He doesn't want to control you. He wants to fill you with his joy and with his blessing, the fullness of the blessing. But you got to make a choice. You can either hide and do it your way, or you can say, Lord, I want to abide and do it Yahweh, his way. His way, Jesus is the way. I don't have all your answers, but I know who does. His name is Jesus. And he can use me. He'll use the gifts of the Spirit. But I want you to bow your head. Why? Because I was always told when I was young, bow your head. Sometimes bow your head when we're looking for God. Well, God's in your spirit. He's right in here. So when you bow your head, it's kind of like you're just trusting God. You're taking your eyes off whoever's talking, and you're looking at your heart. So, Father, I just thank you right now, Lord, for this message that you put in my spirit today, Lord. That it's been, you've been adding to it and adding to it over the years, but you said today was the day to talk about quit hiding and start abiding in your word. And Lord, I ask you to help me do that more in my life, Lord, so I can bring more life to your people here, this church, and to the world. Lord, you said to take your word to the world. And Lord, I honor you at your word, and I thank you that you've made caused me to be worthy to stand in this office to proclaim it and decree it and declare it. But Lord, I can't do it alone. I need help, and I thank you for sending all these people to us today, Lord. And I just speak a blessing in their life. If you'll take what God has said today and open up your heart, quit hiding and come out to him, that he wants to bring miracles and blessings into your life. It's a good life. It's a Zoe life. It's his life. And he gave, Jesus put down his life. He only stayed here 30 years, 33 years old. He gave up that life that you gave him to his Father. And his life he gave for us. But one day, soon and very soon, we're going to see our King and our Lord and Savior, and we're never going to be separated from him again. But until then, the Lord says, I need some help. So Father, I thank you, Lord, for sending your helpers today. And I just speak blessings over them. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today at Word of Faith Worship Center. I pray God's grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. And if you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then according to Romans 10, 8 through 10, the word is nigh unto thee, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if you will confess with your mouth Jesus as your Lord and believe that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart you believe unto righteousness, and with your mouth confession is made unto salvation. We would ask you today to simply say, yes, I believe this, and I say yes to Jesus. Now, if you just received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we would encourage you to get into a good church. Our church is located at 757 Harris Street, Northwest, Concord, North Carolina, 28025. And you can also find us on the internet at wordoffaithworshipcenter.org or wofwc.org. We hope to see you soon. Blessings.